The main attribute that Paul affirms in the Colossians is one I want to affirm in you, and that is the love you show. Repeatedly, Paul talks about how he has heard of the Colossians' love, and he thanks God for the love that they show to others. He knows that love is a powerful force. Love is a winsome witness. Love makes itself known, and when it is demonstrated by and within a body of believers, it is a powerful, tangible testimony to the love of Christ. Paul, in his letter, tells of how he's heard of the Colossians' faith in Christ and the love that they have for all the saints. From my vantage point as pastor to this church, I've not only heard of this kind of love, but I've seen it in action. I've often said that one of the highlights of ministry is the front row seats it gives you to how God is working in and through his people. And I want to reflect on some of what I've seen over the years from my front row seat here at First Presbyterian. I witnessed a powerful testimony to the love that this church has shown through its sustained efforts towards Hurricane Katrina relief. It was a beautiful example of love as we entered into a partnership with Westminster Presbyterian Church in Gulfport, Mississippi, that lasted several years and included, I think, 7 congregational mission trips. How many of you were on at least one of those? Okay. We reach out in other ways, and it started with collecting furniture and finding people willing to drive it to Gulfport. And then in the March after the August storm, enough folks to fill a charter bus rode the 21-plus hour drive to Gulfport, slept on the floor of the Westminster Church Sanctuary, and worked like crazy. We had our 2 work crew leaders, Kent Spangler and Jim Pierce, dueling it out in generosity towards the whole team. If one would buy donuts for the whole group in the morning, the other would buy ice cream treats that evening. Sorry, Jim, but I think Kent may have delivered the winning stroke when he bought a bucket of crawdads and passed it around the bus for us all to try on our way out of town. I was on 3 of those 7 trips, all led by different individuals, as we partnered in hands-on ways and were able to develop relationships with the people whose homes we were rebuilding. So many people in Gulfport experienced the love of Christ, tangibly expressed through the people of FPC. Closer to home was the work on the sheds for those who had lost their houses in the High Park fire. What started out as a one-day work project with AmeriCorps got picked up by Mike Bohart, Jim Pierce, Joe Ritter, and Chuck Wagon Master Cleon Kimberling to be an ongoing project. I remember that first day the AmeriCorps volunteers telling me how great it was to work with the people of First Press, as our crew engaged them in conversation, shared lunch with them, and gave them words of encouragement. In that summer of 2013, when word on the Fort Collins street was that FPC was a conflicted mess, I got to sit proudly with community and faith leaders in the Northern Colorado Long-Term Recovery Group as people shared how impressed they were with all that the volunteers from First Press were doing. The love of Christ was making itself known. Actually, this kind of behavior has been a consistent theme. Every time I was part of a First Press mission trip, whether it was with youth or adults, the servant heart of each person on each team was always evident. Over and over, I witnessed love motivating people to step out of their comfort zones, physically, socially, spiritually. I saw it in the willingness to give up precious vacation days to serve others. I saw it in 3 people repeatedly cramming themselves into the back portion of an SUV in Liberia so we didn't have to take 2 trips. I saw it when some, not who you'd think of as the dancing type, danced, either as they brought up their offering in an African church or as they responded to the gift of a surprise merengue band for us as a team, dancing while the sweat ran down in the humidity of the Dominican Republic. The willingness of team members to put others' needs before their own, the ways they would rise to the challenges of developing world conditions, the friendliness and compassion with which they treated all whom we encountered, and the incredible work ethic that was demonstrated by young and old alike was astounding. And over, I would hear how it was noticed and appreciated and was a blessing, encouragement, and inspiration to the people with whom we were working. the love of Christ was bearing fruit. This love being demonstrated is not at all limited to mission projects. In our last new member class, it was wonderful to hear the participants talk about the loving, welcoming spirit that they felt in this First Press community, which drew them in and made them desire to be part of this open and welcoming congregation. I've heard this many times from those joining our church, including those brave souls who joined in the transitional years without even knowing who our permanent senior pastor would be. They felt the love of Christ here, and that was enough for them to choose this as their church home. I noticed in my last few hospital visits that when I would walk into the hospital room, I would find the patient engaged in conversation with someone else from First Press, either on the phone or visiting. The visits you all have made, the prayers you've prayed, the meals you've delivered, the ways you've served each other, and the cards and the words of encouragement you've given are astounding and are a beautiful reflection of the love of Christ shown to all the saints. I had a conversation the other day with someone who'd only recently started attending First Press. This person wasn't sure about what they believed about God, but thought it would be good to be grounded in a faith community while they tried to work out their beliefs. And they saw FPC as a good, loving, and safe community in which to do that seeking. To me, that was a beautiful testimony that you are demonstrating an open and welcoming love that allows people to feel comfortable and accepted here, no matter where they are on their faith journey. I have witnessed people going through the darkest of valleys where shame or despair could overwhelm them. And I've seen members of this church surround them. I've seen you put yourselves out for their sake in order to provide the support that they needed to get through. In those cases, the gospel of grace and love was being tangibly lived out and has borne rich fruit. In the summer of 2013, when I was the only pastor here, when we were just starting to come out of a place of conflict where many of our interactions with one another had not been loving, we were a church surrounded by prayer. Over and over, I would hear from people within the congregation, from those who'd left, from others in Fort Collins, and literally from around the world, that they were praying for me and praying for our church. In that season, there were two ways in particular that I sensed God at work in me in response to those prayers. One was that I was still standing, that God was giving me the strength I needed to carry on one day at a time during those tough times. But more profoundly, I believe that God was giving me eyes to see that at the core of First Presbyterian Church, underneath some of the messiness and distress that had surfaced in the conflict, was something that was so beautiful. At the core was this beautiful spirit of love for one another, a long history of caring for one another and being family to each other. And seeing this beautiful love at the core of this church gave me hope for our future. It was a core on which, with God's help, we could build. It has been a joy to me and many others to watch that happen as God has healed us and rebuilt us to be a strong community of faith that is still known for its love as we care for one another, as we demonstrate a loving acceptance to newcomers in our midst, and as we reach out in love beyond these walls. Like Paul, I give thanks to God for the love that I've seen and heard about from this congregation. I myself have been a beneficiary of it, not only having received that love from you, but also as your love has inspired me to grow in my love and care for others. You have taught me and been role models for me in the ways that you show love, the ways you welcome, and the ways that you reach out. And I am forever changed and a better person because of my experience among this loving congregation. Throughout this passage in Colossians, Paul grounds their love and good works in the good news of the gospel. These are not just good people being nice and doing the good deeds that good people do. Their love comes out of their gratitude for the love and grace that Jesus Christ has shown to them in forgiving them, rescuing them from the power of darkness, and transferring them into the kingdom of Christ. It's a beautiful experience of mutuality. The love and grace we have been shown by God motivates our love and care for others. That love and care then makes God's love and grace tangible for them and introduces them to the gospel, because they've seen the love of Christ in action. Paul's prayer for the Colossians seeks to make this connection. He points out that their love doesn't come from their own strength, but from God's strength. It is the fruit born of having comprehended, believed, and accepted the grace of God. Paul does not just commend the Colossians, he also encourages them to grow in faith. Paul's prayer for them, and my prayer for you, is that you will continue to grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's easy for us living in an academic community to love learning for learning's sake. We like to have more facts at our disposal and can easily just read Christian books or be part of Bible studies or small groups just to grow in our intellectual knowledge, basically gathering more information. But as others have said before me, it's not more information that God desires for us. It's transformation. Paul's desire for the Colossians is that they may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as they bear fruit in every good work, and as they grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Again, there's a powerful spiral that is being spoken of here. We grow in spiritual wisdom and our knowledge of God's will, which then propels us to lead lives worthy of the Lord and bear fruit in our outreach. And as we do, we grow in the knowledge of God, which sends us back around the spiral. One of my early takeaways from my Doctor of Ministry program was this idea that we grow as disciples through our participation in mission and service. I used to have this unspoken assumption that one should seek to be a very mature spiritual Christian, and once you are well on your way, then your mission starts, either in terms of evangelism or getting serious about investing yourself in the lives of others. I've come to realize, and I think Paul's prayer bears this out, how mission and service are essential to our growth as disciples. We are called with whatever mustard seed of knowledge we have of God to respond to that knowledge and seek to live it out. And as we do that, our knowledge of God and God's will grows, and our faith deepens, and the spiral begins again. So I want to challenge anyone who thinks they need to be more spiritual before they get involved in service, or anyone who thinks they need to hear a few more sermons before they can engage in conversations about their faith. Don't wait. Start to live out what you know now, and realize that in stepping out, God will meet you and grow your knowledge and understanding. When I met with Session this week, I mentioned something about FPC in the BC era, that is, before Cindy. Now I've been thinking about what I'd want you to hold on to AD, or after my departure. And what I've decided to do is take my lead from Paul. I want to pray for you, a prayer with an agenda, as I pray to God, summarizing what I've said here, that contains some of my hopes for you going forward. So please pray with me. Gracious God, I give thanks to you for the people of First Press, past, present, and future, for the love that comes from you that is at the core of this church. Continue to make their love known. Make it known to the family of faith gathered here. Make it known through the open welcome that they extend to all who come into their midst. Make it known throughout CSU and Fort Collins and Larimer County. Continue to make it known in the Dominican Republic and Liberia and Nigeria and Zambia and wherever else you call them to serve as individuals or as a congregation. Christ Jesus, help them recognize that their love comes from you. That it's not just about being good people, but is motivated by your love and grace and strengthened by your Spirit's work in them. Because this love comes from you, it has the power to communicate your love in tangible ways to people who might not know it. I pray that you would use these tangible expressions of your love to draw more people towards yourself. Lord, help them to seek to grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding, not just to fill their heads with more information, but so that they can be transformed and live out what they're learning. I pray that it might both bear fruit and cause them to continue to grow in their faith and love for you. God, I have, I do, and I will continue to thank you for them, for the faith and hope they have, and for love, for their love that has been demonstrated to me and so many others. May they also continue to be grateful to you for this family of believers and continue to pour themselves out in love for one another and for the people outside these walls. As they do so, may they lead lives worthy of you, fully pleasing to you as they bear fruit in every good work and as they grow in the knowledge of you. Lord, I pray for your presence and guidance to be with this congregation, now and into the future, and pray all this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.